The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you?
Good morning, everybody, and what you talking about, Philadelphia? Wake your neighbors, call your friends, nudge the dog. The roosters are roosting, the sun is shining, the kittens are indifferent as normal. It's another fun-filled, fact-filled episode of Find It in Fishtown Live here on WWDB 860 AM, The Big Talker. I don't even think that's the right name, but we love it. Brought to you by the fabulous Fishtown District for the all things fun, happy, eating, drinking, shopping, strolling, living, entertainment, hospitality. I could go on and on and on. You can find it in Fishtown. I'm Mark Collazo, my co-pilot, and, oh, I can't think of a combination name today. The Dizzy to my Daffy Dean. That's an old baseball reference. Do you know any of those names? K.K.
No,
Anderson,
that was,
of course. The
definitely
lovely,
over my head.
They're both Hall of Famers, ex-St. Louis Cardinals pitchers and brothers.
Oh.
Dizzy and Daffy. I tend to think that I would be Daffy.
Who named them?
I think they came up with that themselves. I don't know if
their
that
mother
was
didn't do that.
Dizzy and Daffy. That's if you name your kids that, you're basically telling them you're an idiot. Your career is in like middle management or digging things. But anyway, good morning, Kay.
Good morning, Mark.
And Kay, if all people want to find things about the fabulous Fishtown District, and of course, you and me, where can they go?
FishtownDistrict.com.
And of course, the sun's shining. People want to look, not just listen.
They can go to our Facebook page at Fishtown District.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I was waiting for .com. I don't know why.
No, that's it.
And if you want to talk to us or our fabulous guest today, which we can't wait to announce, give us a call at 888-329-3306. That's 888-329-3306. And Kay, got a funny story for you right off the bat of how I caused a panic to my neighbors over the weekend.
Oh, I'm excited.
Now, as Kay knows, that my social life consists of work, my son, and sitting in my love seat. And that's kind of the order that it's in. So Saturday evening, it was a fun-filled evening of sticking my tuchus, as we say in Yiddish, in my love seat.
Mm-hmm.
Late at night, I'm watching a movie called Wait Until Dark. I know you've not heard of it.
No.
Famous movie, though, 1967, starring Audrey Hepburn. Won the Academy Award for it. Do you know who Audrey Hepburn is?
Yeah. Was this movie in black and white?
No. This was color. There was sound.
It wasn't a silent film.
They weren't talking like, yeah, see, you know. Now, this was a plot. She plays a blind woman, which I think was the only reason she won the Oscar. That these three guys are trying to con her because they're bad guys. Because someone who was smuggling heroin in a doll gave her husband the doll to hold. He didn't know what was in it. And they wanted the doll.
Uh-oh.
Wait, the whole plot of this movie rests on a grown woman wanting a doll?
Well, she doesn't know where the doll is. But there's heroin in it.
But for some reason, she cares about the doll that's not hers and has heroin in it.
Stay with me, because that's not the biggest idiot.
Okay,
and
I'm ready.
And I have a rule in movies. Like, just give us a little common sense. I always joke about the movie Signs, the M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie.
Yes.
And I just remember these aliens come to Earth. They're taking it over. But for some reason, they don't have the technology to open a basement door where they were hiding out. And that always stuck with me. Like, they could fly to Earth, but can't open a door. So stay with me now. So now these guys are going through this whole concoction of pretending they're someone to try to find out where the doll is, and she legit doesn't know for a portion of the movie. But then Audrey realizes something is afoot. and these guys are not who they say they are. And this all happens. They're coming in and out of her apartment. But she realizes this while none of them are in there. So she knows none of them are in there. And she's at the door where she realized that the door is unlocked. Now, if you have bad guys coming in and out of your apartment and you realize that they're not in it and the door is unlocked, Kay Anderson, for $1 million, what's your first instinct?
Lock that door.
And she does not.
Oh, Audrey.
And I begin screaming out of frustration at midnight. Lock the bleeping door. What is wrong with you? Just lock the bleeping door.
So wait, so let's zoom out for a second for our listeners. So you're in Port Richmond.
I'm in Port Richmond.
At midnight, sitting on your love seat.
Love seat. Love the love seat.
Screaming at the TV.
Adamantly screaming at the TV because
the bleeping door.
I understand the movie would have ended. Right. This doesn't even go to, hey, call the police. She actually sends her 12-year-old neighbor to the bus station to find her husband, not to go to a cop who she could call from her upstairs apartment. But I'm not even upset at that. So I'm screaming this because I'm so, because again, it's just common sense. Lock it. She's right at the door. She's right there. All of a sudden, I hear my neighbor open his door and walks around and knock on my door like a frantic knock. I'm like, you know, got to put my sweatpants on and everything because I'm comfy at that point.
Right.
And open the door. I'm like, are you all right? I'm like, I'm perfectly. What do you mean? He's like, I heard you screaming for someone to lock the bleeping door. We thought someone was in your house.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. So the whole movie was ruined for me because the main finale, the thriller part, only takes place because she doesn't lock the dang door.
Right.
And now so now my whole block is like, knows me as the girl who cried wolf or cried door. So for those keeping score at home, I get agitated. I'm like a cranky old man that yell at kids to get off my lawn. So what a great end to the weekend for me. So if you're ever wondering what I'm up to, you can guess. That's why we have Kay, who I live vicariously through, who literally does 27 things by Sunday.
Yeah. Sometimes not enjoyably so.
Well, we're going to get into that because I'm going to unlock the dang door and take the leisurely stroll over to Kay's Corner. Kay, what's going on in the corner today?
You know, we always got a lot going on over in Kay's Corner.
Always.
So we have events coming up. It is now pop in an event season.
Love it. Love it.
So this weekend, if you guys forgot, FNA is having their neighborhood-wide yard sale. So definitely go to FNA's website, check out the map, stop by your neighbor's spot, and maybe buy some of their old junk.
I was just going to say, buy clothes that other people have worn over and over and over again.
Right.
Sign me up. I mean, go enjoy. By the way, it'll be a beautiful weekend.
But maybe there's some like old electronics, an old air conditioning unit. Like,
yeah.
I usually stay away from clothes and go for like, you know, other things.
Like my thought is, if the choice is either me buying it or you throwing it out, how bad do I need it?
Usually true.
Okay,
usually
but
true.
I already poo pooed the first big event. I apologize. Please go. You can find a little treasure.
So the other thing that I wanted to make sure everybody remembered is that we do have our Sips for Students event tomorrow night.
Can't wait.
I'm very excited. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, there might be a few still available, but you better hop
on. Today.
Yeah, I was going to say you better hop on right now to get those. But then go pick up your beer from Evil Genius and cheese as well.
Of course.
And the cheese is being provided by Liberty Kitchen, correct?
It is. Got to keep it in Fishtown.
Absolutely.
Very excited. And this is more, I think, in our alley. We try, not that Fishtown Social and Vanessa, it wasn't awesome. And again, if we could share the recording of Vanessa partying it up during the tasting, mm-hmm. She does it right. She's not yelling at movies at 12 o'clock Like I was.
No, and she's also, we know she's not one of those stuffy wine drinkers that just snobby and, you know, only wants to, no, she's having a great time.
So this is we're getting four beers, four
yes.
different drafts with a cheese combination. And again, go to Evil Genius to buy your tickets. And it's a great way to support another Fishtown business, have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And these things are a lot of fun. Drink in the comfort and safety of your own home. I know we're both going to be in our respective houses.
Yes.
So.
And I'll have my little studio set up because Sam's going to join me.
Awesome.
I roped him in because he likes beer.
I may go visit our other correspondent, Randy.
Good.
And we're going to get to her in a minute. Hi, Randy. I know she's listening. You know, some segments don't always work, Kay, but we'll get to that.
So the other thing that I wanted to mention to everybody, it is going to be very warm towards the end of this week. So if you're looking for some great places to sit outside, enjoy some bites, enjoy some beers, I wanted to mention a few of my favorites. So
please.
Good Spoon Soupery, if you're looking for a nice lunch spot, they just opened up their side yard again. So you can go hang out there, have a soup sandwich or salad. They have more than just soup. And check them out. Their food is delicious.
Love it.
Great vegan options.
I was just going to say, very healthy.
Yes.
And I love saying the word soupery.
Yes.
Because that's the first time I've ever heard of it. honest to God, soupery.
Additionally, speaking of soup, the Soup Kitchen also opened their outdoor seating area.
Oh, so that I didn't know.
Soup Kitchen is right off of Frankfort Avenue, if you weren't aware. But they also have great soup, sandwiches, and salads. So another great lunch spot to try out. And then if you're going to try and find some entertainment, my two selections for this week are the Barbary, which has some great late night entertainment, usually starting around 6 and going till about 10. That's outside down on Frankfort Avenue at 955 Frankfort Ave.
And please go, when you go, and you gotta go, go see our good friend Ravi, the mm-hmm. owner. Go hug him. Go love him. He's adorable. I always say he's like a very happy Muppet. Like, I love him. And if you're listening, Ravi, and Ravi, by the way, does he still hold a record of...
Yes, he does.
Of people viewing in on Finding Fishtown Live?
Yes, our most viewed episode.
And with the nice weather, you got to get out.
Absolutely. And then finally, of course, you can go to the Philadelphia Brewing Company Beer Garden over at the 2400 block of Frankfort Avenue. It's big. It's popping. You can bring your kids. You can bring your dog. Have a great time. All that good stuff.
There is always something to do in the Fishtown District. And again, Kay, to find out everything happening in the fabulous Fishtown District, where can they go?
FishtownDistrict.com.
And by the way, just for our Sips for Students, as you know, we do this also to call attention to a school sponsorship program that we're working with the LaGuardia Academy, private high school right on... Lehigh Avenue and mm-hmm. near Aramingo. And great school, great people involved, and it's a way that you can help a child get a four-year education. So it's a good way to know about it. Next month, Kay, will be actually our first in-person mm-hmm. SIPs.
I'm so excited.
Where we will be at, we don't have the date yet, with W.M. Mulherrins and Sons, and we're going to be sampling some whiskey and bourbon. So I can't wait. I'm going to get my Don Draper on. I'm actually kind of dressed
yeah.
for it, which we'll get to. But we're not done in the corner yet, are we?
No. I mean, I think it's time for Kay's track.
My favorite song of the show, by the way.
Kay's track. Kay's track. Kay's track. Kay's track of the week.
So I'm very excited about this week's track of the week. So this is actually a Kensington band.
Oh, okay, local.
Yes, hyper local. They played at the last, I think, 4 Kensington Sculpture Derbies.
Nice.
But they also play at PBC very often. Like I said, they're hyper local. If you've been in Kensington, especially the East Kensington area, you've probably heard of them. So this is Chalk and the Beige Americans, Have Habit.
I love that name.
Need 'em when doves fly, you're never gonna want 'em when doves fly, you're only 6 feet away.
when doves fly, you're never gonna want them. When doves fly, you're only 6 feet away.
So that was Have Habit by Chalk and the Beige Americans.
First off, I love the name of that band. I love it. If you want to get your funk on, and by the way, it's a great way to start the money to get funky.
Oh, yeah.
I have to be honest, and all your tracks so far have been awesome. That was my favorite.
You know what? Even as I was selecting this track, I was like, this one's probably going
to
be fun.
I would leave the love seat to go see them. Again, the name of them are...
Chalk and the Beige Americans.
Chalk and the Beige Americans.
And you can find them in Fishtown or Kensington.
Of course you can. Okay, awesome. Before we leave, and before we, of course, get to America's favorite game show, What's Mark Wearing? Not yet. I want to... You know, last week we tried a new segment, which was Let's Get Rowdy with Randy. Randy is the third stooge to our three stooges here at the Fishtown District. Known Randy for 60-some years now. Been with me forever. Wonderful gal. So I wanted to get her involved in the show. So my original hope was that, you know, certainly when I knew her back in her, you know, peppier days, she was a cheerleader. In fact, even captain of the Washington High School cheerleading squad in 1987. She was the captain.
Wow.
That's where the attitude comes from.
And you were the captain of the football team at the time, right?
Well, anyway, so I'm like, wouldn't that be great? Start the day with a cheer, you know?
Right, right.
She refused, adamantly refused, because she's got self-esteem. And so I'm like, okay. So she gave us an inspirational quote, which I think if anybody remembers, it was about
squirrels.
Running over squirrels. Mm-hmm. Not so inspirational if you think about it. So... Matt says to us before we leave for the day, so do we need music for that segment? And Kay and I immediately turn to each other like, we'll get back to you on this one.
We'll work on it.
Yeah, so we're going to work to bring Randy back. You know, I would like to do, if not, let's get rowdy, maybe wrap in with Randy where we make her our correspondent. We send her somewhere
okay.
to ask questions.
I thought you were going to make Randy rap. And
Well, have you ever heard her rap?
No, I don't need
to. Don't call it a comeback. She's been here for years. So Randy, we love you. We'll try, but you've been axed. And now it's time to play What's Mark Wearing?
Well, hi, Mark.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
And that is What's Mark Wearing, brought to you by Fabulous Fabrica in the Fishtown District. For the best in dining and Cirque de Soleil-like entertainment, there's nothing better than Fabulous Fabrica, Fabriki. Check them out on social media, and please make your reservations today. Today is a little tamer, Kay, here in What's Mark Wearing. Again, we have another meeting. We do work, Kay and I, so sometimes we have to dress, or I have to dress like a big boy. So today I'm dressed, well, one could either say like a Republican, a Mater D, or Gopher from the Love Boat. So I have on the typical navy blue blazer with, of course, powder blue shirt with the white stripes. This is in no way crazy today. But, of course... No outfit is complete without your khakis.
Right.
Even the socks today, tame.
Oh, wow.
All tame.
I was expecting some fancy socks.
No, because you know what? We were meeting with people from the Rivers Casino today, and the fabulous Emily Donias, the superstar of the casino, mm-hmm. would literally kill me if I embarrass her by wearing Homer Simpson socks or something like that. So next week, I promise, we'll be back to my normal, very loud... sports-like Hawaiian shirt I have a lot of Hawaiian shirts, I just noticed. It's actually a problem. But, God, I hope you enjoyed that. Let me tell you something. This is bulletproof comedy here that you're listening to.
Oh, 100%.
So I think we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we can't wait to have her. She is a pride of the Fishtown District. We're talking about Arielle Johnson of Amalgam Coffee and Comics, really one of the groundbreaking businesses of our corridor, and we can't wait to talk to her. So we're going to see you in 2 and 2 here on Finding a Fishtown Live on WWDB 860 AM.
It's been part of Philly for over 10 years, so Rivers Casino Philadelphia knows how you like to play. With better odds, more playtime, an upgraded rewards program, plus a state-of-the-art sports book, great restaurants, and more. Everything that real players want without the overpriced distractions. Rivers Casino Philadelphia is for those who play to win, not play to pay for some fancy new place. Rivers Casino Philadelphia, always on our game. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Crooked teeth may embarrass kids whose families can't afford braces, and trying to fix their teeth themselves can make things worse. Luckily, there's Donated Orthodontic Services, a program from the American Association of Orthodontists. For children and teens who qualify and are matched with a volunteer orthodontist, treatment can be life-changing and help them smile with confidence. Learn more at aaoinfo.org.
The police called after midnight when they caught our son at a drinking party. It was a real wake-up call. My wife and I are really worried. We don't know if our son has a serious problem or if he's just hanging around with the wrong crowd. How do we know what to do? The police officer who brought our son home suggested we try Al-Anon family groups. He said it might help to hear our other parents are dealing with alcohol problems. I didn't want to go to an Al-Anon meeting. I didn't want anyone to think we had problems like that. And I didn't think our son's problem was that bad. When I decided to give Al-Anon a try, I found it was a safe place that keeps your problems private. It was very helpful. Are you troubled by someone else's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group from people just like you. Call 1-888 for Al-Anon, or go to Al-Anon.org.
Welcome back, everybody, to the fun of Finding a Fishtown Live here on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Mark Collazo with my co-pilot, Kay Anderson. And we are so, by the way, the show is brought to you by the fabulous Fishtown District for the best in everything. You can find it at Fishtown at fishtowndistrict.com. But we've kept this dynamo waiting, I think, long enough. Our guest today is Arielle Johnson, the owner, operator, founder, and as she describes herself, chief nerd at Amalgam Coffee and Comics, which is a comic book store and coffee shop hybrid located in the Kensington section of North Philadelphia, right on Frankfort Avenue. The idea for Amalgam was born in 2003 when the owner, Arielle Johnson, was still an accounting student at Temple University, my alma mater. See? I know I loved her for a reason. 13 years in the making, Amalgam opened in stores on December 14, 2015. Since its opening, Amalgam has garnered national media attention because of its commitment to representation and inclusion. Amalgam is the only black woman-owned shop of its kind. Kay, did you know that?
I did.
Atta girl. And the first black woman-owned comic book store on the East Coast. And what a fitting addition to the Fishtown District. Welcome, the talented Arielle Johnson. Welcome, Arielle.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Kay. Thanks so much for having me.
No, thank you for you. We love you and everything you're doing. So, jumping right in, tell us how you came up with this.
The idea really just kind of came out of a personal loss of a kind of home away from home. In college, when I was a student at Temple, I think everybody, if you've been in Philly long enough, you eventually touch Temple in some way.
Sure.
So I always feel like no matter who I tell, you know, folks I went to Temple, everybody gets excited like, oh, I took a class there, or, you know, I got my degree there, whatever it is. So big ups Temple. But yeah, I was a student there, and it was like my little routine on Fridays after class to go to my local comic shop, which was I was going to Fat Jackson Center City at the time. Great shop. And across the street from them was a little coffee shop called the Crimson Moon. And it was owned by Coco Darling. And she was, you know, a young Black woman, probably, you know, the same age that I am now when she was running her shop. And it was just like the vibe in there. So I just loved getting my books and then going there, hanging out, having a hot chocolate or, you know, a little piece of cake and just kind of getting a nerd out in public. Instead of like going home to my nerd dungeon to like read, you know, read in a dark corner or something. It just felt nice to do it in public. It felt, you know, social, you know, sure. Even if I wasn't necessarily talking to the person next to me. You know, some years later, Crimson Moon closed its doors, and it was the loss of that space that really prompted the idea of Amalgam. You know, I was just thinking like, man, well, what if the comic book store was that also that place that you could just hang out and be? You didn't have to find somewhere to be with your books. And again, just a warm place that had a nice vibe. It's like, well, what does that look like? And that was really the start of it. You know, just kind of an idea that I would, you know, toss around every now and then, you know, as I'm, you know, going through school and even early in my career. And it was it would be later that I really, you know, buckled down and focused on it and said, you know, this is something I want to try and do.
Sure.
Yeah, just, you know, just kind of, I don't know, it was like a dream, like legit. Amalgam was just kind of a daydream that I had for so long. And so it's been really cool to kind of realize that.
And what made you pick Kensington to bring this dream to life?
So I was, you know, doing research all over the city. I'm not a Philly native. So I'm actually originally from Maryland, Baltimore and Glen Burnie areas. And so my introduction to Philly was me coming to Temple. So, you know, so I love Philadelphia. I love that it really is a city of neighborhoods. So I just kind of took my time and did my research on, you know, different neighborhoods that I was familiar with and, you know, what would be the right fit, like where would Amalgam kind of fit in with the vibe. And I had you know, considered a few other spots, but I also wanted to not intrude on any other comic book stores, kind of, you know, take territory, if you will. So kind of looking at the neighborhoods that didn't have a comic book store specifically, you know, led me to Fishtown, Kensington area. And then in my research, I discovered that Frankfort Avenue is officially an arts corridor in Philadelphia. It's one of the arts corridors. So I thought like, well, normally when I think of an arts corridor, I think of like galleries and, you know, pictures on walls and that kind of thing. You know, in a sense, art that isn't necessarily meant to be touched. So I was like, well, man, what if like, you know, we're representing like for the visual artist, the graphic artist, you know, the comic book artist, the sequential storytellers, you know what I mean? What if we're representing that on an arts corridor? And I just thought it was a good fit. And of course, you know, and then this was some years ago, and you know, Frankfort Ave was very like artsy and kind of a little punk and stuff like that. I think about like Rocket Cat and all that. I just thought like, man, that would be a good fit for us. You know, a little counterculture. At the time, I mean, comic books are now our main culture, but you know, a few years ago we weren't quite at that point yet. So I just thought, you know, this would be a great, you know, area for Amalgam to be in and being on Frankfort Avenue specifically.
And tell us about the reception you got. Kay and I, you know, in our corridor are huge fans, but what was the reception like when you opened?
Man, so you know what? It was, I had done a crowdfunding campaign before the store opened. So I had done a lot of interviews and things like that, even before before we opened our doors, but that was very much me kind of pushing, you know, trying to get my name out there, the business, what an album was going to be, and that it was coming soon. So that was me kind of, you know, doing that. So there was a little bit of buzz, like, you know, within the comic book community, and specifically in the, like, the blurred black geek, black nerd community, of me opening of Amalgam, like, being this place. So there was some of that. So when we opened, I felt like it was like a nice, you know, a modest welcoming, like people knew we were there. People showed up on our first day excited and all that. And I was like, okay, cool. And, you know, I'm thinking it's just going to slowly grow from there. And, you know, 2 weeks later, we have an article published about us. I think it was, I want to say it was like a week or so after Christmas. Because I remember, like, we shut down a couple days for Christmas and, you know, just kind of, it had been a long, you know, 2 weeks or a week and a half or whatever. And just kind of, it's like, all right, now we can regroup and start again. But then this article comes out, and it was Philly.com.
Okay.
And we, like, blew up. And then so overnight, it was just like we were getting flooded with customers, you know, people coming and I wanted to meet you, to, you know, speaking to me and taking pictures and, you know, asking for my autograph. It was a very strange time.
What?
Like, what is going on? And then that coupled with an interview, I had the honor of being on MSNBC's former show. Oh, my gosh. Melissa Harris Perry. I'm sorry, I just blinked for a second.
That's okay.
On Melissa Harris Perry, and that again was like this renewed surge. So, you know, folks saw us there, and then again we had this other wave. So our reception was very good, I would say. And almost a little overwhelming. We definitely weren't. I definitely wasn't ready for it to be what it was so quickly. You know, and then from that, you know, that moment on, we were just, you know, trying to catch up with the excitement around us being a space.
Well, it's funny you talk about how you blew up. So back, we actually met Ariel back then. My buddy Ryan Spack, and when he and I would have meetings, he's like we would meet at your place, and it hadn't been open that long. And I just remember being astounded by the concept. I'd never seen anything like it before. And at the time, I was running a business corridor in Mayfair. So I immediately went up to you and was begging you to open up another one in my corridor. And you're like, I'm just trying to catch up now from this one. So you definitely hit it. Before we go, I know Kay's got some questions. Did you always have a love of comics growing up?
So not comics specifically, but I was definitely one of those kids. I was, you know, I was born in 1983, so an 80s kid. So I grew up watching like He-Man and She-Ra and Transformers, you know, even My Little Pony, like all that stuff. And I always liked that. I liked, you know, superpowered things. I like magical weapons, like, you know, the Sword of Power, like all that. The Sword of Omens, you know, for Thundercats fans.
Awesome. Thunder, Thunder, Thundercats. Oh! There you go. Look at you, Matt.
You know, snarf, snarf.
That's the first time anybody said snarf, snarf on our show. Thank you, Ariel.
Sometimes when I'm in conversation and somebody will say something, like, I might say snore, snore. But yeah, so it's just like, I always like stuff like that. And then when I was about 11 years old, 11, the Fox television show from the 90s, X-Men,
sure.
Was debuting. Like, it was going to be this new thing. So, you know, they had commercials on for it, advertising it. And in the commercial, I saw this black woman with white hair and white eyes flying around, you know, on gusts of wind and throwing lightning on people. And I was like, who is that? Like, I remember just looking like, you know, kind of just dumbfounded, because again, and all these things were this fantasy world where I enjoyed the stories, I enjoyed the action, I enjoyed the world building. I was never there. You know, nobody that looked like me was ever there. You know, the joke, you know, among nerds, especially in the Black community, is like, you know, everybody knows Panthro was Black, you know, but the voice actor that played him was a Black man, but just kind of even when you didn't know who was voicing the character, was like, that's a Black guy. You know what I mean? And you know, same thing, like Jazz and Transformers, like Jazz is Black, you know, that's clearly what they're doing, but it's like, but they're not Black people. Mm-hmm. And it's right. So I'd never seen a person, somebody that looked like me, you know, being a part of these adventures. And that was just life-changing. It was like, I remember I watched Night of the Sentinels part one of the X-Men show, you know, and it like Storm's entry in it was incredible. And I was like hooked ever since. So it was really a love of Storm and me just wanting to know more about her that got me into comic books, because it's like, oh, okay, X-Men, that's a comic book. You know, you want to learn more about something, you go to the source material. So I started with like X-Men books and you know, Storm focused books, broadening out to X-Men books, broadening out until, you know, I wanted to open a store and to share these stories and, you know, this love of these like fantastical worlds with other people. It wasn't a direct path for me. I probably didn't even start my comic book collection really until I was in high school. And that was because I had a friend who was also very much into X-Men but he had comics. And so there was some sharing and some, you know, things like that. It came later. And again, because I just, my love of Storm just kind of really pushed me into this world.
That's great. And I know that you also got the chance to, be drawn into a story as well, didn't you?
So I am not into the story, but we have a variant cover. So, Riri Williams, who is the, I guess belongs in the Iron Man family. She takes up the mantle she takes up the mantle, and she is originally presented in a book called Invincible Iron Man. She mm-hmm. would later on get her own series called Iron Heart, which is actually the name she goes by. But when they launched the Invincible Iron Man that would feature Riri Williams as the title character, Marvel was doing like, you know, store variants. You can do that every once in a while where a variant is only available at one store. Mm-hmm. So we were invited to do that. Randy Green, our comic book Jedi here, he was really excited about it. And he was like, you know, can we do it? Are we going to do it? And I was like, no. I said, that's too much money. Like, that was exactly what I said. I was like, I can't spend that to get this book. And that was like kind of it for me. And he was like, well, let me talk to him. Let me see if they can, you know, lower the minimum so we don't have to order as many and, you know, da, da, da. And I'm like, sure, that's fine. So he, you know, he works his magic and we're able to work something out that, you know, is doable for us, you know, especially as a new business. And then they were asking for concepts. It's like, oh, so what do you want to be on the cover? And I was like, oh, I really don't have any ideas. And again, I said, Randy, what do you think? And he was like, well, I think it should just be you and Riri on the cover at Amalgam Comics and Coffee House, just chilling, having a coffee. Like that was it. And I was like, okay, sure. Because it's like, then I'm like, I don't know. I don't really have any ideas. And so, you know, we talked that out. Marvel agrees that's something that they can do. And so it happens. And once again, you know, so I'm thinking about like, okay, so now we've ordered all of these books and now I have to sell all of these books. And, you know, I'm thinking, assume who, like, that people even want this, you know what I mean? It's something fun, but people may or may, you know, things don't always pop like you want them to pop. So I'm a little nervous about it. And then Marvel actually does a story announcing the cover. And again, it blows up.
Yep.
It blows up. Like, once again, we're being overwhelmed. People are calling, people are emailing, like, can I get this book? And at this point, the book is like months away. It's like, it's not coming out until November. But so now I'm like spending all this mental energy, like trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to keep track? Because at the time we didn't have a website yet. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just, oh, we can put it up on our website for people to pre-order. So it was like, how are we going to keep track of, you know, all the stuff? So then, we're working to figure out, okay, this will be the process so we can keep track of all these pre-orders so that when the book comes in, you know, we can get it out to folks. And literally after the book came in, I spent like 2 weeks signing and packing up books to get sent to people.
That's awesome.
Books, people were ordering this book. We had a couple orders from the UK. I think there was a guy in, it was either Sweden or Switzerland, but it was like, from where? Like, it's like, where are we sending this? It was insane. And people still call, like, hey, I wanted to see if I could get that book with you on the cover. It's like, we do not have that book. Good luck finding that book. Like, nobody's, because, I mean, at this point, it would be the secondary market. Somebody would have to be selling one they had, and they're nowhere. You can go to eBay, nobody has them.
Wow.
So people are holding on to them. It was wild. I was like, I don't understand what's happening. I was like, I am sitting here signing comic book covers. What is my life right now? So weird. So surreal, you know?
And you mentioned Randy Green, who's your comic book guru. And one of the things that I love so much about Amalgam is the staff that you've done such a great job of bringing into the space, curating, and also empowering to take on leadership roles and really do great things for the business. I love the staff picks. That's probably the section that I spend the most time in when I go to Amalgam, just browsing through. How did you select your staff, and how long of a process was that for you?
So, you know what? The staff thing, like hiring, even just initially, it didn't take that long. Again, Amalgam had gotten some attention. So even before I was really hiring, I was getting submissions, you know, and folks, you know, tell, I love books. I love this. I love that. I love that. And, you know, and so, you know, of course, you hold some interviews, but the folks that I brought on just really stuck out from just their love of comics, their loves of geekiness, their excitement about coffee, their warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks, I just remember being like, man, this is somebody, you know, I would like to talk to every day, you know? And you know, like Randy became a part of the team because at the time he was a part of a radio podcast show called The Black Tribbles.
Right.
I am now a part of The Black Tribbles, but in the beginning, you know, when I'm first meeting them, I met Randy for the first time at the studio when we recorded. And it was just one of those, then one, he just reached out and was like, hey, you know, if you're hiring, I'd love to work for you. So it was just like, so some of it, like, just kind of fell in my lap. But I was also blessed that there was so much excitement around it. And I think everybody, especially the folks who wanted to be a part as we were just opening, were really serious about wanting to see it be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So from the door, I had folks that were on board for the mission. That's why they reached out, because it sparked something in them and they wanted to be a part of it. So I think I just, I don't know, I lucked up. It wasn't even that long of a process. It was just like there were some really strong folks who, again, as you know, I mean, and our team looks a little different now, but my initial team, starting lineup, if you will, they were collectively with me for 3 years.
Right.
And even now, you know, some of them are still on board and some have moved off, but it's like to have like the same staff just solid for 3 years. And, you know, we really became like a family in that time. And again, so just really fortunate in that.
So
and the relationships I've been able to build.
And I know that creates sort of the feeling of warmth that people have when they come in there. So and you made it something that kind of stuck with me when you were talking. You talked about seeing Storm from X-Men and seeing someone that you could relate to in comics for the first time. How do you think comics has evolved now in representing heroes or people of color as heroes?
Oh, I mean, I think we're in such a different place right now. And the thing is, it's not, I don't know. It's not just, you know, one thing. So of course it's like publishers being, you know, willing to kind of expand what they're offering. So there's that piece, but it's like, but you could do that and get a situation where now it's like, okay, so now we're showing different types of people, but it's still just a room full of white guys writing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think the big shift and the big change is like, not just who is in the story, but who is telling the story, who is drawing the story. And I think that's what's really brought the richness and fullness of what we're seeing right now. Again, that space is being given for different storytellers. And then you get, when you do that, you get different stories, you get the same stories from a different perspective, which brings new life into it. And you know, I think that's the space where we're in right now. And it's really exciting. And even to go beyond even just like heroes, it's like, you can just, you know, it can be a slice of life comic where it's just the day-to-day life of this kid, and the kid, you know, is, you know, not, you know, cis, straight, white male. It's like we're just telling different kinds of stories for everyone. You know, and I think, again, I think that's why we're in this, like, this boom, if you will, just of comic book culture, because we are telling, different stories. Different stories are being told and given space to different voices.
Sure. And by the way, if anybody's got any questions for Ariel, and I don't know how you don't, give us a call at 888-329-3306. That's 888-329-3306. One of the things, Ariel, I'm going to geek out a little bit here, Kay, was for me, and I'm older than you, Ariel, is sort of the inception of the graphic novel. How it wasn't just the typical weekly little thing of the superhero. It was now, it became a storytelling thing. And there were two that I read, actually, I guess three, back in the day, that to me, like, I made my son, even though he's not a comic book guy, I just want you to check this, because just for literature and storytelling. So there was Watchmen, which, by the way, great series on HBO, if you get a chance to see it.
Fantastic series.
There you go. and a black heroine in it, which was great. There was Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns, if you remember that one.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's more of people my age. That was just a very pissed off Batman coming back. That's what that was, which we liked.
That was the name of a Batman movie, too. I saw that one.
You know what? Yeah. But it's different, though. It's different. and the third, oddly enough, and they made a movie of this, too, was From Hell. It was a story about Jack the Ripper. And it was, to me, especially that latter one, Ariel, it was, you can tell it was very heavily researched to have a lot of facts in it. It was, and even though it was a fictional story, and to me that showed really what the power of this medium is. For people now, what are you reading? What excites you?
Oh, man, what am I reading? Oh, so many things, everything and nothing. I am reading right now The Wicked and the Divine. I am in book three, I think. Saga by one of my favorite writers, Brian K. Vaughan. I'm actually reading a young reader's novel called called Root Magic, which is about a little girl in the apologies. I'm at the
That's
store.
Okay.
A little girl who is of the Gullah Geechee people in South Carolina, and it's her story of learning their magic tradition and kind of being introduced to this magical world. You know, I almost like if you want to think of like compare it to something like Harry Potter. So this little girl coming into her power in this magical world, but it's this little black girl. It's rooted in an African/African-American magical tradition. And that's not usually what we get when we get magic stories. We get them from a very Eurocentric point of view. So that's probably the thing I'm like most excited about right now. I'm also reading another Afro-futurist sci-fi novel called Everfair. I'm reading Grant Morrison's X-Men, Red Sonja.
How do you have time to work?
I mean, I think more the question is how do I have time to read?
That's
I'm
true.
All the time, so I'm reading when I can. I recently got a puppy, so now we have to spend some time at the dog park.
Yes, you do.
And so while I'm there, I'll read, especially because she's the best dog. She socializes well, so I don't have to be nervous when I'm there, so I can just like sit. And so since I've gotten her, I've actually been reading a lot more. Before I would just kind of try to eke out 10 minutes before I passed out. But yeah, so that's why I say I'm reading everything and nothing. My head's in a couple different places and I don't have that much time to devote to either one. So I'm slowly ticking my way through some stuff.
Ariel, in our last couple of minutes, I know Kay has something, but so when we were prepping for today's show, we were going through your website and I found the comic book of all comic books that I said to Kay, I have to read this. Kay, do you remember the name of it?
I know it was something about Harriet Tubman.
It was Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer. I'm like, this would be history. I would get an A in that course. So tell, first off, and I see it's sold out. Is that right?
Yeah. That book by David Crownson is one of Amalgam's like all-time bestsellers. So we get it in pretty regularly. It's an indie book, so it's definitely... we have to plan it a little bit better because David has to have books printed for us. And, you know, so we usually buy in like larger quantities when we get them. And so we have to kind of plan for it. But it's like, it's so cool because it's our bestseller and it is legit an indie book. You know, he does the distribution himself, like all that. But yeah, it's like, you know, it exists in this world where, you know, it's Harriet Tubman. And so she is, you know, doing her work on the Underground Railroad, leading people to freedom. But, you know, sometimes there's some vampires, you know what I mean?
Of course there are.
So she can take care of that too. And she has like a samurai sword. It is a really, really cool universe.
Well, you let me know when that comes in. Because I am buying it. I was literally running around the office very excited, like a little kid, like I have to have this.
I know we're running very short on time, but you did briefly bring up the Black Tribbles in your podcast. So can you tell the people where they can listen to that and what they can hear?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Black Tribbles is a Philadelphia's premier geek podcast show. We have been in production for 10 years. Mm-hmm. As I said, I came to the Black Tribbles as a fan, and in their seventh year, I was inducted as a member. We are the Black Tribbles. You can check us out at blacktribbles.com, anywhere you can find podcasts, Black, I'm tongue-tied today, anywhere where you can find podcasts, you know, Apple, Stitcher, Black Tribbles. We're on Black Tribbles are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. So definitely check us out. There are some really cool interviews. I think my favorite interview, and this is when I was a fan of the show, is when they interviewed the voice of Lion-O. So the little Thundercat intro that you played, it's like, thunder. It was such a cool, it was like my heart was palpitating that entire time. So definitely check them out. Our most recent and kind of our goodbye to folks is because we are, we're no longer doing our Thursday night weekly show. We made an attempt for the Guinness Book of World Records back in April. So we did 60 hours of live podcasting and it was insane. Mm-hmm. Slowly but surely, the captain of the ship, Lem Webb, is making the sections of the Guinness World Records show available. So, definitely check that out. It was a great time. I know we were all super, like, as we were starting, we were like, why did we agree to do this? But it was so much fun. And it was, I'm so happy that that's how we went out. It was awesome. And yeah, definitely check them out. Definitely check out the archives.
Ariel, in our last couple of seconds, where can people find out more about Amalgam Coffee and Comics?
All right, so you can check out Amalgam at Amalgam Philly. That's AmalgamPhilly.com. AmalgamPhilly.com. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Same thing, Amalgam Philly. We are due to COVID, we've been shut down, but we are about to reopen our store to the public. We've been operating as pickup only this last year. So now we're about to open up our lobby again and let folks in. And we're also working with New Kensington CDC and the Black Child Book Fair to put on a Juneteenth festival on Saturday, June 19th. So right now we are raising funds for both of those efforts. So if you want to check out our GoFundMe, all that information is on our social media pages and our website. You can also just go to GoFundMe and type in Amalgam and our campaign should come up. But yeah, we appreciate everybody's love and support this past, year plus. And, we are still here and we feel blessed to be so. And, for folks who can support and help our reopening efforts, we would greatly appreciate it. We're excited to get back to being the community space we want to be.
Ariel, thanks so much for being with us today. Thanks for being part of the Fishtown District, and thank you for being you. Well, next time I see you, we'll do the T for Temple U cheer, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great.
Okay, great show. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on another fun-filled episode of Find It in Fishtown Live. See you next week, everybody.
Man is born, he's a man.